You know, we sing these songs, and the Lord really has done quite a work for us. But I want us to understand that we cannot assume that everyone else knows about the work of the cross. That not everyone else knows that God sent His Son to die on the cross. It's funny because if you start talking about heaven, I'm sure that everyone will say, oh yes, when we die we go to heaven. Guys, that's not the whole message. When you and I who are washed in the blood die, we go to heaven. Those who have not been washed in the blood will not be joining us there. And so we need to be able to share and find the ways to share the message that is true, that will set people free and will establish bigger and bigger parts of the kingdom. This morning we're going to read two parts of Scripture where Paul starts talking about the fact that there were people who have established their own ideas and they have a rude awakening coming. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, starting with where we left off 2 weeks ago, at verse 18. These are frightening words. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Guys, do we see wickedness in our world? Is God's wrath going to burn against that? Yes, that is a part of who God is. God is also a righteous God and a just God besides a loving and merciful God. So we need to hear what the Word has to say here. These are parts of the Scriptures, and I know that we as Christians have kind of stepped away from pointing out that there is wrath that God is going to pour out. And unless there are other Christians, though, who love to spend all their time in the end of Revelation where God's pouring out the wrath on all those bad people. But that's true. That's going to happen. So let's hear what he says. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so that men are without excuse. Remember when it was popular to say the devil made me do it? We'd laugh. This Bible's telling us we don't have an excuse. The truth's always been here. It's been revealed. It takes more faith to believe that there was this one little cell and it accidentally became something more. And then that thing accidentally became something more. And we got more and more complex. Think of the faith it takes to believe that. Our God is all powerful. He says, just look around you. My truth is there, and you are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. He's talking about the idols that people have chosen to worship. And guys, I want us to think, yes, there are many things that are still used as idols. How many of you have seen the little Buddhas that they have and they say, rub his head for good luck? Those are idols. And people believe that they have power. Okay? And in connection with Satan, they do have power. But you don't want involved with that power. But I think there's also even a more dangerous idol that we have. It's the idol of the things that we set before God. And each of us has to be careful that we watch for those idols in our lives. Because any number of things can become an idol. My brand new car can become an idol. My OSU ball team can become an idol. When I place anything like this before God, it has become an idol. But you see, I'm the one that's making them into an idol because they become an idol for me. Someone else may never ever have a problem with making their brand new car an idol. But each and every one of us has an area that Satan is going to try to tempt us to raise something above what it should be raised in our lives. And the scripture says we are without excuse because God has always been there and shown us through all that He has provided and done. How can we be so blind? But we've chosen to be blind. We've chosen to turn our eyes from God and to put them on other things. Therefore, God has given them over to their sinful desires in their heart, to sexual impurity and to the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served and created things rather than the Creator, for who is forever praised. Our God is to be forever praised. But let's think about this. What is it that has happened? We have now started saying that things that are sin are not sin. We have chosen to say, no, I don't believe in this God who has a moral purity and wants that for His people because I want something else. I have allowed the lust of the flesh. God has given us so many things to protect us, and we look at them as if they are horrible shackles. And we make gods out of things that shouldn't be gods. In our world, the concept of marriage, the concept of purity for marriage, the concept of waiting until we are with the right partner that God has ordained, these are all things that Satan has tried to supplant. And we in the church need to be pro-marriage, not anti-things, but pro. When you look at what God has done, what Jesus, the example He has given, the adulterous woman brought to Him, what did she deserve? She deserved to be stoned. But Jesus said, I will not condemn you. But did He say, go back out and continue on in your adulterous relationship? No, He said, go and sin no more. So I want us to hear what these scriptures are saying. They're saying God is still a righteous God who has a right way, a proper way. And we need to conform to that. That doesn't change the fact that He has always loved the sinner. He wants very much for them to come into the kingdom, to be His child, to change from the sin. He loves them. That will not stop. But He is also a just and righteous God. And there will be punishment for those who do not repent. That adulterous woman repented. It goes on to talk about other things, and we're going to skim over those because I think you've got the point. I hope you've got the point. So down in verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to their depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also to approve of those who practice them. Paul was pointing out. And at this point, he's talking to the Roman people, to the Roman church. But he's pointing out, church, there are people all around you. And there are people in the church. And you remember that they started talking about different heresies. And Paul had to address some of them. This was going on in the church. People trying to lead the church to say things are right. Do we have that today? Yes. Do we have to take a stand? Yes. How do we do it? By loving those who are sinful. Once we show them love, we pray that God will show us the opportunity and that the door will be open, that we can then share the real truth that will set them free. If we go ahead now through into chapter 2, I'm going to just kind of skim this, because then we begin talking about those who had been Jewish, those who had the law of God. And it says, but guys, if you failed in one point of the law, you are guilty of how much of the law?
All.
All of the law. He's trying to make the case that, guys, you need to realize you need a Savior. You need a Savior. He's laying the groundwork and he's taking time. He's making sure that no one misunderstands that you have blown it and you're going to go to hell if you don't get the Savior. So he takes all of this time in the book of Romans, the first three chapters actually, where he starts trying to lay this groundwork, because he wants them to realize you don't have to continue living in sin. You don't have to continue with bondage in your life. You don't have to continue. Things can change. He talks about circumcision. Why circumcision? Because it had become the mark that meant that you were God's child. If you were circumcised, the Israelites said, you are God's child. You're part of his kingdom. And he says, no. It's not that. It's whether your heart is circumcised. You can do all of the things you're supposed to do, tithe your mint, etc. And I got plenty of mint. If you need to tithe it, I'll give you some. But it's your heart. So he's now addressed two separate worlds. He's addressed all of the Roman people living there with all of their gods, letting them know that that is false and it is idols. And then he's addressed the Jew and he says, you've got the laws and you should see so much better off, but somehow you've been uncircumcised in your heart. You do it to show. You see, I've heard of churches that go and they lock the doors if they don't get enough collected. I've heard of so many things being done in the name of the Lord that it really scares me sometimes. The Lord says that sometimes we need to pray in private, and we had our discussion Thursday night in the men's group because we're talking about things that keep us from being able to be heard by God, and also then things that God instructs us to do in prayer. And one of the times he says, go in secret. And then the next time he says, but when you're with a group, you can agree together and it will be done. And we talked about, well, okay, what prayers should be in secret? And what prayers can we agree together on? And we came up that there are several guidelines in the Word on those things. And so, anyway, what I want us to realize this morning is that you and I are called to be salt and light. Have you ever had an open wound? Okay. Have you ever been sweating and had scratches on your skin? And had drips of sweat get in those scratches? Did it feel good? Salt doesn't feel good in a wound. Guys, we're working in a wounded world. So I want you to get this picture. All of these wounds out here is the world. All the things that are going wrong. That's the world. And you have been commissioned to be salt. And sometimes that can be a little painful, but it also can be healing. It can also be healing. When you read this introduction of Romans, and I hope you'll take time to go back and read through it. He goes through a lot of things. But basically what he's saying is, people have been trying to get to God for a long time. And they've tried in all the wrong ways. And they have perverted things. Even those who had been given the special law perverted those laws. It was no longer a heart thing. It was a burden. David said, I will be glad when I get to go into the house of the Lord. How many of you, when you get up Sabbath morning, think, I can hardly wait to get to church today? That's where we should be. We should be saying, all right, Heavenly Father, I'm going to be with your people. This is going to be so great. I'm excited. Hallelujah. But it takes me 30 or 40 minutes to get beyond the, I would like to be back in bed. So I'll work on that. But people, there is a way that leads to death. And that's what Paul was trying to point out to all these people who have tried to come up with ways to either make gods that therefore they could live with their laws, or just to ignore what God had already given them. People, we need to be going out into the world. And there's many ways we can do it. One of the ways we can do it is through Operation Christmas Child. Did you ever think about what that box can do? It shows love. It can be done by bringing food to a food pantry. It can be done by helping someone who is hurting because they've lost someone. We just need to be open to the fact that God says, I love the world so much that I gave my only son. What are you going to do because you love the world? Do you love the world like I love the world? You know, we sing songs about having my father's eyes. We sing songs about having the father's compassion. They're nice songs. They make us feel good. And then we go out and we forget to greet those in the store. We forget to put a smile on our face. We forget that we should be rejoicing. And sometimes we like to have a pity party for ourselves. Did you ever realize we can make an idol of ourselves? I'm more important than God. My comfort is more important. I can't pray because, let's see, I can't sit, I can't kneel. What can stop us from praying? Oh, there's not a single malady, there we go, that can stop us from praying. So, guys, let us learn to discard the garbage and have a circumcised heart one that says, I am going to be loving the world just like my Father loved the world. I loved the signboard out there this week. One side says, be still and know that I am God. The other side said, take action to be still. Sometimes we have to set aside time. Sometimes we have to say no to an activity. Sometimes we have to take action. Love is not just an emotion, it is an action. God's love. To do what is best for people. That doesn't mean that we give them whatever their wishes are. That means we give them what is best. That's love. So, guys, how many of us already have a Savior? Who's in need of a Savior? Anyone who does not have our Lord. And that's what Paul was laying the groundwork to say. Every one of you needs a Savior. The wrath of God is coming for all who have not received what God wants them to have. John 3:16, we quite often quote, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. But we don't stop and think about the fact that love was an action. We don't stop and think about that tells us we have to be an action. So I'm going to shut up now. But let the Spirit touch you today. Let the Spirit be the one to guide you. Let the Spirit challenge you on whether you need to put a smile on your face when you go out the door. Let the Spirit challenge you about who needs to feel the love of God today. What can you do to show the love of God today? And to be honest with you, God gave us a Sabbath for His work. So you have no excuses today. This is God's time anyway. So let's be about His business. And yes, I know you're saying we have a business meeting. Well, I certainly hope that we're about God's business at that business meeting. If not, then we better close the church doors. Amen? Amen. All right, our closing hymn. We've sung a lot about grace and hallelujah. Grace is there. I'm going to say one more thing before we sing the last hymn. I shared a few weeks ago, we went to a funeral. And I was talking with one of my nephews. And he was talking about the whole funeral thing. And he didn't want the casket and everything. And we came around to heaven. And he says, if you're cremated, can you get into heaven? And so that's how the discussion came, because he didn't want the casket. And a comment from another person was, well, if you're good enough, you get into heaven. Guys, that's a lie. It has nothing to do with how good I am. It has to do with how much I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, once I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, my life is going to change and I'm not going to do the bad things. I'm going to move away from them, yes. But it's not because of the things, it's because I've been washed in the blood. And that blood has changed me. So let us remember, the world doesn't know the truth. And you and I have got to get the word out. I invite you to get your bulletin out, because we have a unison benediction this morning. But I want us to stop for a moment. It's in Genesis chapter 31, verse 49. Does anyone know what is transpiring when this word is given? Not Abraham and Lot, but yes, it is a parting. It is a parting prayer. It is a prayer that even though I'm not going to be able to see you, God is. And I ask that God will watch between you and me. All right? So when we pray this prayer, we're asking for God to watch over each other as we depart from each other. Asking for God's blessing of protection. So, I would ask you to join with me in this unison prayer of benediction. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. Amen.